Hey everybody, Tim Dwyer here. How are you? Hey guys, just want to have a quick little chat. No PowerPoint today, just a chat. Could you imagine what it would be like to walk into a courtroom and carry with you, the Constitution, the Quick and Garran? They're the ones that Corinne and I sell, these ones. They're a reprint of the original Constitution or the Quick and Garran annotated version of the Constitution. And as you know, we sell them for $185 and $15 freight anywhere in the country. And imagine walking into a courtroom, carrying one of those documents, and sitting down and start referring to it in your case because you're defending yourself. And could you imagine the magistrate asking, "What is that book you are referring to?" And you tell the magistrate that it is the annotated version of the Constitution. Could you imagine how you would feel if he confiscated that book from you, took it, refused to give it back, i.e., stole it, and then you were told that if you purchased another one, when the new laws come in, you could be found guilty of having disinformation. How would you feel? What do you think the ramifications of that are?
Labor's misinformation and disinformation bill, originally drafted by the Liberal government, I might add, much to their eternal shame, looms large over the nation. Now, this week, the Australian Human Rights Commission has shared an article by Lorraine Findlay titled "Why the Misinformation Bill Risks Freedoms It Aims to Protect." Now, part of the discussion insists that the government should not be allowed to exempt itself from the rules it intends to place upon citizens. It also raises concerns about the threshold for so-called harm, which has not been defined, leaving us with a piece of legislation that could be easily abused. Now, Senator, does the Australian Human Rights Commission hold legitimate concerns for Labor's bill, and should it be sent back for review, or, as many of us would prefer, scrapped altogether?
Scrapped altogether. It's a censorship bill. That's all it is. And you raised a very important point from the Human Rights Commissioner's article. Lorraine Findlay has done a fabulous job on commenting on The Voice, and a fabulous job on commenting on the misinformation disinformation bill, a censorship bill. She quite rightly points out that the government is exempt from misinformation disinformation provisions, so is the media. But the citizens, social media, are not exempt. They're the ones who are going to be targeted. Does that mean then, Alexandra, that the government can say whatever it wants, any lies, and yet the opposition, whoever the opposition is at the time, can say nothing?
If that were the case, has the Magi overstepped his mark? Has he stolen the document? Just a question. Oh, and then imagine being in a tribunal where it's a mental health issue, and the person who's in that tribunal is told that espousing common law issues and going on about an old constitution, and anybody found doing that could be subject to the Mental Health Act. How good's that? Welcome to South Australia, where the Premier, Peter Malanaskas, is a tyrant. Then, of course, we have Bonnie King Charlie coming out next week. And isn't it funny? All the premiers who support a republic have refused to go and meet Bonnie Prince Charlie. The Republican movement's on fire again, and they're firing up. You see, this is not another video of protest. The whole country is at a crossroads right now. And I believe if we are to continue under this evil, this treasonous, and I will call it based on the number of died suddenlies and the amount of excess deaths we have, death cult method of governance. We have a problem. And I think what we have to do is we have to pull and pull hard to bring to everybody together for the reformation of our lawful parliament, the reformation of our lawful Commonwealth. Because you see, the way it's going, if the Republicans get their way, we will be transitioned down into some low form of socialism that you can't, it would not, you can't even imagine. Now think about this: the Republican movement, they won't even tell you what type of republic they want. They have no idea themselves, I don't think. They just want to get out of this constitution. And the reason they want to do that is because the minute, if this country ever becomes a republic, the crimes that have been committed by those who are under, who are breaking the law on wholesale based on our constitution, once we become a republic, they can never be tried for their crimes. And that includes COVID crimes. That includes financial crimes. That includes all sorts of the fraud. But anyway, but think about this. The Republicans, oh, they're such good folk, you know. They want to spend perhaps another $5 or $6 billion of your money, not theirs. They're not going to dip their hand in their pocket. They're going to spend $5 or $6 billion more of your money, which we can't afford, to become a republic. And then there comes the issue of rewriting a republican constitution. Now, there's a lot in a constitution. Who would you trust to write the constitution? What level of academia would be involved in that? The leftist, socialist, communist academia? And how much Chinese influence would there be in that? And of course, how much Sharia law would be in that? And how much disinformation, misinformation laws would be in that? And how much digital ID compliance would be in that? Just a question. So who would you trust to rewrite a constitution for the future generations of Australia? And don't forget, in the constitution as we have it right now, the authority goes like this: the people, the constitution, the parliament, except the parliament that's supposed to be here, right, this parliament, is empty. That is the parliament of the Commonwealth. They have replaced it totally with the Australian parliament. Never seen that in the constitution anywhere. So if they're doing that now, imagine what they'd do if they had free rein as a republic group. Ladies and gentlemen, here in South Australia, it appears that we're going into a period of tyranny in the courts and in the tribunals, and that SACAT are now influencing SAPOL to keep an eye out for those of us who would espouse the Commonwealth Constitution Act 1900 UK as disinformation. Go figure. You guys have a great day. My name's Tim Dwyer. Speak to you soon.
We have in Australia, sadly, a compromise at the highest of levels. Having produced a set of documents to the Royal Commission, which includes, disturbingly, documents that name in one document 28 people as alleged pedophiles, includes a whole lot of prominent people, and I think to protect the discretion of the Royal Commission. I won't comment on what the Commission thought, except that they thought it was outside the terms of reference of the Royal Commission. Could you explain to me why that is so? I actually want to go to the proposition, Mr. Attorney, that we should include in the terms of reference the institution of the law. And I have documents here which the Royal Commission has seen to justify that case, and in fact every Attorney General, from Attorney General Ruddock till now, has seen some of these documents. And they are police documents, and they are very disturbing. It's not so much the secret that's the problem. It's when a group of people, such as the 28 people on this page, keep each other's secrets, that the institution becomes compromised. And on this list, and I won't, there are some spectacular examples of that. People involved in hearing court cases, people, anyhow, I won't go through that. I just appeal for the thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Australia, and the Royal Commission, to its credit, is demonstrating the disgusting culture of some of our institutions. I appeal for you to give consideration to cleaning up this act. I mean, the Royal Commission, the Wood Royal Commission, as you know, Mr. Attorney, was about to explore who the legal fraternity people were that used to attend Costello's, the Boy Brothel Club in Kellett Street, King's Cross. And I've actually got the list here. And a lot of them are still practising. But the judge of the day of the Royal Commission decided it was a no-go zone. And Paddy Bergen, counsel assisting at the time, said, "We'll rise for morning tea," and they never went back to it. And I did ask the commissioner why. He said he'd deny it if ever I mention it. I think it's time to mention it in view of the good work of the Royal Commission. He said, "We've decided not to revisit that issue because the public would lose confidence in the judiciary. Because the public would lose confidence in the judiciary." I think it's time, like the churches and our other institutions, who are now facing up to the truth, I think it's time the institution of the law faced reality. In recent months, I've put a proposition to the Royal Commission into the institutional treatment of children, and it's pretty heartbreaking to see what's gone on and what's been denied for the last 50 years now being exposed as a reality. It's broken a lot of hearts. There is a former Prime Minister on this list, and it is a police document. When the police find it necessary to put a judge under surveillance, I think we've got to a point where we've got a problem. And when that surveillance is dropped because of a lack of cooperation between the AFP and the New South Wales Police, we have a problem. It's like the denial of the priests and the altar boys for 50 years. I have put forward a case which I initiated to remove a judge from the bench in New South Wales during the hearing of the case and from the bench. From the bench during the case. Said to the court that he thought the law was out of date and that sex for siblings should be now legal, and that it shouldn't be illegal for men to have sex with children. And I found that despicable and despising, and a complete bias of display from the bench. I've tried in vain to get a federal judicial commission. And I think the treatment in the federal jurisdiction of children by some people in the jurisdiction of the Family Law Court is disgusting and a disgrace, and some of those children are a tool for attorneys in representing cases. I think it's time we gave consideration to cleaning up the Act.